Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3 can be found on page 547 in the Pew Bible. We'll be reading and focusing on verses 13 through 26. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 26. This is God's holy word. Let us give attention to it. Verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. Let us pray once more. Father, we pray now that we would be given by your Spirit the ability to listen to your word and to have it applied to our lives. We're thankful that what's laid out before us is the blessed life. And so, Lord Jesus, through your faithfulness to us, may we be inspired, not just in an emotional sense, but in a renewal sense, to hold fast to the wisdom that you have given us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptures, as Milton in his poetry captures, is a story of paradise presented, paradise lost, and ultimately paradise gained. Paradise created, paradise lost, and ultimately paradise not regained, but I would suggest gained. And that's what's set before us in our passage this night. The work of Christ has brought us to where Adam would have attained if he would have personally and perfectly obeyed in the covenant of life God entered into with him in the garden. And notice in verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. It's a fascinating study of the Word of God that Adam would have, if he personally and perfectly obeyed, laid hold of that very tree of life. And entered into not a mutable state before God, but an immutable state. Now that sounds fancy, but what it means is a perfected communion bond with his creator. That's what God designed or desired in the very beginning. It's lost in Adam, but it's regained in the second Adam, in Jesus Christ. And so all who have laid hold of this wisdom and the tree of life it represents are now in the presence of God right with him. And so we, in a sense, have regained or gained through the work of Christ where Adam would have been, and yet we're still in the world. So that's the paradox of our context. Whereas Adam, if he would have personally and perfectly obeyed, would have secured for him and his descendants a perfect communion bond without any sin, Christ, in entering into this world to secure that which Adam lost, has gained us paradise, but not yet. And so the book of Proverbs places our context in a life in which wisdom needs to be applied to everyday life. But what's presented for us in verses 13 through 16 is exactly that, the security of the blessed life, the rewards of laying hold of that wisdom that ultimately is found through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the blessed life that is ultimately our present portion as we await the day in which the already gives way, or I should say the yet, not yet gives way to the already. And so we look at this passage tonight as we consider the surpassing value, the wisdom of God, and the blessing that attends those who find it and treasure it. Look at under these three headings. First of all, and they're all commands, lay hold of the blessed life. We'll see this in verses 13 through 18. Lay hold of the blessed life. And then secondly, we'll see guard the source of the blessed life. And guard the source of the blessed life. We'll see that in verses 19 through 22. And then third and last, we'll see rest confidently in the blessed life, verses 23 through 26. And so notice with me, first of all, lay hold of the blessed life. In verses 13 through 18, they have bookends. It's the blessed life in verse 13. And then in verse 18, the same word in the second half of it, verse 18, happy are all who hold her fast. This language of the blessed life is how the beginning of the Psalter begins. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. It's the blessed life, a communion with God. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. It is that great truth of the one who realizes that in the Creator is the essence of all wisdom. It's a blessed life because it's brought the person from independence and darkness into dependence and a reality. That's how this is brought out in verse 13. There is wisdom, and he gains understanding. And notice, too, that these are verbs in which we are to be active. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. These are to be valued above all other things in the world. Notice in verses 14 and 15, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Now, why is that? Well, wisdom brings us into an encounter with the true and living God. It is through wisdom that we fear the Lord, and not in a way that causes us to, like Adam and Eve after they sinned, to hide in the bushes, but rather to draw near to God in trust and confidence, to find in him as a God who cares for us, who knows us, who promises to shepherd us, as we saw last week in verse 6. And by the fear of the Lord, we're able to know our finiteness and to have the wisdom to trust in the Lord with all our heart rather than our own understanding. We are creatures. We're finite. We don't know what we don't even know. And so we need God to direct our paths. And so Solomon writes in here, echoing the language of his father in the Psalms, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. This is the treasure that is to be received as it's given to us in the Word, as it's communicated to us in the Gospel, as it finds itself ultimately in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll know that Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who's become wisdom from God for us. That is our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. So what's going on here? Well, Solomon's writing this, and he's pointing to that great truth. Not just the ability to navigate the day, but a sense of God's favor upon us. That's what it means to be blessed. It's the opposite, of course, of the word cursed. that which we deserved in Adam in his fall, what we inherited in our guilt and our corruption, is alienation from God. Solomon's presenting what would was held out to Adam in the first place, and we'll see this in verse 18, as a blessed communion bond with the God who is. How's that borne out? Notice verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. One commentator says this, the mention of the right and the left, or said the right and the left hand together, signifies wisdom's generosity and readiness to give. Nothing held in wisdom's embrace is withheld from the one who will seek her. In her right hand, her hand of strength, comes the most precious gift. And notice what it is there in verse 16. Long life. Literally, length of days. This gift has already been held forth in Proverbs 3:2. Notice down in your Bibles. My son, do not, verse 1, forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And so God's commandments, the way of righteousness, the safe path, the narrow path that leads to eternal life. And so in her left hand, she holds forth the lesser but still valuable gift of physical resources and relational. The one who embraces wisdom, writes this law, will live long, have plenty to sustain himself throughout his many years, and will be respected and praised by those in his network of relationships. So how does this come to us? Well, it comes to us by way of application. So Solomon, writes this writer, knew where he spoke. This was not mere instruction for Solomon, but you'll remember, as a young successor to his father David's throne, God said, ask of anything, and I will grant it to you. And what was that Solomon ultimately led to ask for? Well, he asked God for wisdom. Wisdom to shepherd God's people, Israel. And God granted him that wisdom, but God promised he would also give him what he had not asked for, riches and honor. You find that in 1 Kings 3, 12 through 13. It's the imagery that Jesus spoke about in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All the things that you need as you focus upon the blessed life, meditating upon God's word day and night. The fruitfulness of that life, as we saw this morning. Notice ultimately what these paths are. The blessed life, is a life led upon those paths that we see in verse 6. He will direct your paths. Notice verse 17. How pleasant are her ways, and all her paths are peace. Now again, we're talking about the context in a world at war against its creator. But internally, in knowing the security that we have through faith in Jesus Christ, we have a peace, as Jesus said to his anxious disciples in the upper room discourse, that the world does not give them. It's a peace of his presence. It's the peace of his promises. It's the peace of his power to bring to pass that which he promises to his people who trust in him. And so it is this path of peace that we walk on. They describe, writes one writer, the direction and substance of one's life as he makes his way through this world. And that's exactly what's going on. We're navigating this narrow path. It winds at times. We are brought into testing by the Lord himself. Providences that we would describe as good and providences that we would describe as severe. But knowing all the while, God is directing our path. He is sanctifying us through and through all these circumstances. Walking the ways of wisdom, the Solomon says, is pleasant. Pleasant in this sense, writes another writer, agreeable to the inner and outer man, and which it does good to enjoy. So it's peace. Not where we've already looked at. It's the word shalom. It's not temporal. It doesn't just affect maybe our physical well-being, but all that we are, body and spirit. It's a peace and knowledge that we are being led by our Creator. That though whatever might come into our lives, we know that He created us. He knows our rising up and our lying down. He knows where we need to be, and He wants us to trust in Him. And so all her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. But notice, as I said, verses 13 and 18 act as an inclusio, a bookends. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Of course, this tree of life first comes to us in Genesis chapter 2. In all the garden, there's plenty of trees, many fruit trees. God enters into a covenant of works, a covenant of life with Adam, and that covenant calls for upon him to perfectly obey him and not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But a second tree is mentioned there in the second chapter and the third chapter, and it's this very tree. It's the tree of life. So what is Solomon saying here? Well, trusting in the Lord and the blessed man who finds wisdom and understanding, it is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And Solomon's saying that in this revelation of God's wisdom is the salvation that sinners need and are afforded through faith in His promised one. The tree of life is mentioned throughout the whole Bible, not only Genesis 2:9, but through the closing pictures in the new heavens and new earth in Revelation 2:7 and Revelation 22:2 and 14. And it's scattered throughout the book of Proverbs, 11:30, 13:12, 15:4. What we're meant to understand and be encouraged by is that tree of life, though it's paradise lost, is ultimately gained through the promises of God through a Messiah. The seed of the woman, he would ultimately lay hold of that tree that Adam did not in order to gain us salvation. And so the tree symbolizes the long and fruitful life already spoken of in verse 16. What do we mean to make of this word happy or blessed? One writer says this, it's the promised outcome of those who embrace wisdom. Happy also represents the closing of this portion of the scriptures and speaks to this life that is ideal. It is an already not yet. We are the paradox of peoples. We are both blessed, yet we are afflicted, as the Apostle Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The book of Proverbs is not Pollyanna about the realities of suffering. And so the Apostle Paul there in chapter 4 can say this concerning the ministry. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that in the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And so we entrust ourselves, knowing that God does all things well. He's wisely left us in this in-between. He calls upon us to lay hold of, notice this language in verse 18, to take hold of wisdom as a tree of life, and then to hold it fast. Well, we can't do that in and of ourselves, can we? And so as we look to verses 19 through 23, we see that Solomon directs us to the God who is of all wisdom. And this is our second point. Guard the source of the blessed life. What is the source of the blessed life? And we see that the Lord is the source of the blessed life because He's the source of wisdom. Last week, I mentioned Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 4. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is in His attributes who He is. That is, He is the essence of wisdom. And so the Lord is the source of wisdom. And if we are to persevere in taking hold and holding fast to that wisdom that is a tree of life to us, it is based on the God who has a hold of you and I. Notice what Solomon says here. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding He established the heavens. He's directing us in verses 19 and 20 to the power of God in creation. And what is God's source of exercising that power? It is wisdom. Verse 20, by his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. So one writer says, wisdom is basic to everything. It's basically what Solomon's saying. God employed his wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in bringing forth all creation. And think about Psalm 104, Psalm 136, Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah 51. The wonder of this world that God spoke into existence. Day one, day two, all the way to day three. Wisdom is basic to everything. Wisdom predates all creation. It is an attribute of God, something he is, not something he possesses. And so one writer says this, the wisdom of God that guides us in life is the same wisdom that he employed in the foundation of all things. And is that not the purpose of what Solomon's saying here? Let me repeat it. The wisdom of God that guides us in life is the same wisdom that he employed in the formation of all things. This means that to walk in God's wisdom, as revealed in the Proverbs and the rest of Scriptures, is to walk in harmony with the created order in all of God's world. Notice what we're seeing here. Solomon's not detaching or divorcing the fact that God's wisdom formed this world. And that wisdom that we need each and every day, the dawn of each and every day, is that same wisdom. It's the power of God. He is the source. And so what are we to do with that source? Well, notice verse 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. That word keep can be translated guard. That which you have sought and found as that leads to the blessed life. My son, do not let them vanish from your sight. This speaks of our frailty, does it not, in this in-between, in this pilgrimage. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And lest we take our eyes off this wisdom and then turn and close God's word and not be seeking it from above, as James says in chapter 1, it can vanish from our sight for a time. But what Solomon's portraying before us, especially as we saw in verses 14 and 15, there's nothing else that we should be focusing on but the wisdom of God, especially as it's personified and incarnated in the Lord Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on him who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, one writer says this, as if wisdom is so foundational to the very creation itself, then it ought to be the foundation and fountain of our relationships. If God in his wisdom can establish the heavens, then his wisdom can establish our steps throughout life. And that's what's going on here. Solomon, like Paul in the New Testament, is going, if you will, from the greater to the lesser. He created all things by wisdom. And so that same wisdom is what directs our paths in everyday life. And so we see in Isaiah 33:6, and he shall be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Isaiah 33:6. This writer goes on to say, this sure foundation requires faith as its active agent. And so the writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith we recognize and acknowledge what God in wisdom has done in creating order. No less faith is required as we encounter his foundational wisdom for our lives. The expression of his wisdom in Proverbs often run contrary to our natural bents. Only faith-filled obedience can release the power of his divine wisdom into our lives and relationships. So we see this creating wisdom that touches upon our everyday life, and that they go together and they're married together as we focus upon the God who supplies us with that which we need to navigate everyday life. And so we see in verse 22, so they will be life to your soul. This repetition of this great truth, not only a tree of life, but life to your soul and adornment to your neck. They are ultimately life and our very worth before God. And so we entrust ourselves to God. We are adorned with this wisdom. It marks our life as a humble people dependent upon His grace moment by moment. And so this exhortation in verse 22, we saw it back in chapter 2 also, this adornment, wearing it about our necks. It ultimately guards the source of blessed life. We treasure it. We hold fast to it. We treasure it above all else. And it's ultimately, as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His voice at the dawn of the day we ultimately want to hear and call upon Him to direct our paths, acknowledging Him and seeking grace and wisdom and strength in all of our relationships, knowing this is the very power of God, this wisdom in all our relationships. That leads us third and lastly to verses 23 through 26. Rest confidently in the blessed life. Rest confidently in the blessed life. That's verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Now, this is a repetition again in the book of Proverbs. It's often speaking of the way in a course, as the New Testament does also, as we saw from John 8:12 this morning. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We are a people on the way, and we are to be following, as the Old Testament church, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We're led by the Holy Spirit. We're called to walk in the Spirit, ultimately fixing our eyes, as I said, on the author and perfecter of our faith. But we're ultimately to rest in His promises, rest confidently. Notice how this is brought out. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. In the next chapter, we see Solomon picking up that language again. He speaks about this in verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Verse 19, chapter 4, the way of the wicked is darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. That's a warning in and of itself, is it not? The more we grow and the more we grow old, we realize how walking is such a gift. Talk about exercising and having enough muscles around our skeleton to go into our latter years of life. To be able to walk securely on a smooth path is certainly a gift. In this day and age of many living beyond what our foreparents lived, the church is seeking to have ramps into the church, maybe someday. All that speaks about our frailty and the impossibility in and of ourselves to walk securely. Notice this problem, this promise, your foot will not stumble. It is those who are blessed of the Lord who find wisdom and gain understanding. And this is not just a physical stumbling, but it's a spiritual stumbling that could come our way apart from that grace. But the promise laid before us is that God is with us and walking with us. Psalm 37, verse 31, the law of God is in His heart, and His steps do not slip. And so we need that, do we not? Proverbs 10, verse 9, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. Now we know this in our own walk, literally, spiritually. If we're not walking with the Lord, inevitably an uncertainty creeps in our heart. We might have something happen in our lives, and we'll immediately think that God's providentially chastising us. He might or might not. But we know when we're not walking with the Lord, our feet, both spiritually and metaphorically, are not secure. And so laying hold of this, seeing the blessed life in Jesus Christ, is the way of security and peace. Notice how it touches not only our day hours, but our night hours. Notice verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. What a promise. In this day and age of narcotics and sleep aids and try not to drink coffee after 3 o'clock in the afternoon or iced tea after 5 o'clock or chocolates at night and dessert. All this we all struggle with when it comes to laying our head down on the pillow. And what Solomon is saying here that by virtue of laying hold of the tree of life, the wisdom of God, we are enabled to place our head upon that pillow and know that we're secure in Christ. All the promises of God watch over us and enable us to turn off our minds and rest with our bodies upon the bed God has blessed us. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This, in and of itself, talking about silver and gold and jewels, nothing compares with a night of good sleep. We were talking about this in Sunday school. If somebody would call your employer on a Monday morning while you're still in bed and just 60 seconds away from needing to hit the snooze button and say, John, just stay in bed. I've already called your employer and you have the day off. And you would just fall asleep till, you know, late in the afternoon, would you not? With that gift that far surpasses silver and gold and precious jewels. Solomon's speaking of something much more richer. It's sleeping with the knowledge that God watches over you. Isn't that the beauty? Isn't that as the Israelites would go up to the sanctuary and they would sing through Psalm 121? Isn't that the peace that would grasp their minds and hearts as they lay down their heads at the end of the day? Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Notice this from our text in 19 and 20. Who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth forever. That's what makes our sleep sweet. As a young child in the home, knowing that mom and dad are there, that's what enables a children to sleep well. They know they're watched over, they're prayed for, they're cared for. And so too we, as children of the living God, beloved children, as we see in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, we're cared for by our heavenly God. He watches over you while you sleep. He already has your day planned in the morning. And it's not to hit the snooze button, but rather by grace and by wisdom from above and strength that he provides to navigate the hours of that day. He keeps us. He watches over us. We can understand the world we're in. We can understand those severe providences. And notice how Solomon, again, is not Pollyanna about these truths. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Because ultimately our God is there for us. For the Lord will be your confidence, verse 26, and will keep your foot from being caught. That is caught and then ultimately stumbling and falling off the path. We know in this life and our brothers and sisters under persecution in the Middle East and Japan, I should say in China and North Korea, that in this life we will face persecution. But what we're talking about is eternal security. It is a confidence in our God. The Lord will be your confidence. And that's how we rest in the blessed life. As Jesus said in John 10, my Father and I hold you in your hands, hold you in our hands securely. Nothing, says Paul in Romans chapter 8, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, as one writer says, the one who walks in wisdom has the confidence that God is with them. And that's exactly what Paul says, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his one and only Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? He cares for us. He's at work in our lives. He's sanctifying. He's refining us far greater than silver and gold. He has given us treasures in this wisdom that are for our security, but also for our perseverance. He protects us. The Apostle Paul understood this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talked about the Lord protecting him. Even as he ultimately lost his life to Nero, Paul said this, 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the blessed life. It's found through faith in Jesus Christ, the mighty one of God. He is wisdom from God for us, not just for salvation, but for perseverance. And so it is we trust in him. He has gained for us in his life, death, and resurrection and ascension, paradise. We are in and already not yet. And yet he meets us each and every day through grace, wisdom, and strength. He directs our paths as we acknowledge him, as we with wisdom trust in him with all our heart. We find him faithful so that our confidence grows and we continue together to press forward all the way until he takes us home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son who has secured for us in his death and resurrection the tree of life. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you intercede for us at the right hand of the majesty on high. And thank you for sending forth the Holy Spirit who has shown us these truths. And so may we have that wisdom ever the more. May we treasure it. May we guard it. Lord God, may we continue to walk in wisdom as we have been united to Christ as raised from the dead. Bless us in our paths. Lead us, grow us in our confidence. Keep us from walking by sight, but rather, Lord God, based on your character and your covenant promises, may we walk by faith. May we walk so together as your people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.